For 10,000 years, the Space Wolves have loyally served the Emperor of Mankind. They are a noble chapter of Space Marines, their coordinated savagery unequaled. Their warrior packs are hunters and slayers of heretics, mutants, xenos, and demons. There is no leashing them. The tendrils of the Ice Kraken cannot bind them. They are the wind that howls through the trembling forest. They are the ship that splits the storm. Theirs is the joy of warriors born. Theirs is the barking laughter in the face of monstrous evil. The spittle in its eye. Theirs is the grin that widens and the fangs that gleam. Theirs are the growls on the edge of hearing. The fur-draped shapes in the blizzard. It is their roars that dog frenzied flight. Their runic blades that cleave and their claws that rend. Do you sense the hairs on your neck standing and the chill of ice spearing your heart? Do you see pitiless yellow eyes calculating your every weakness? You are being hunted. Are you afraid? They are the Emperor's executioners. You should be. Sons of Russ. Savage warriors and instinctive hunters from the frozen death world of Fenris. The Space Wolves are an indomitable and fiercely independent chapter of the Emperor's Space Marines. Wearing tribal furs and talismans, these demigods of war hound their foes, howling their battle cries before fearlessly charging the most monstrous enemies with bestial aggression. Upon icy Fenris, around roaring fires on cloudless nights, fueled by salted meat and fiery ale, tales are told. Keeping alive the oral traditions of their nomadic peoples, storytellers speak to their rapt audience. Fur-clad hunters, leather-skinned sailors, battle-scarred survivors all of the Sky Warriors. Denizens of lofty Azahim, the Sky Warriors are no mere mortal men. Each is as large as an ice troll, the Skalds swear. They tell how the Sky Warriors' skin is rune-scribed iron, and their voices are thunder. The furred mantles they wear are the skins of beasts larger than anything hunted by man. Hung with fang and charms, they walk beams of starlight, or are else borne into the black sea of night on spears of worm fire. There, among the stars, say native Fenrisians, the Sky Warriors fight and hunt and feast eternally. These legendary figures are the Adeptus Astartes of Fenris, the Space Wolves. For millennia, the Wolves of Fenris have fought fiercely in defense of the Imperium. The chapter has hunted horrific Xenos from the depths of wilderness space, torn down tyrants enslaving whole systems, and still fight the endless war against the insidious threat of chaos. Though clad in recognizable power armor and wielding the prized bolt weapons of all Space Marines, they are also steadfastly independent and dismissive of outside authority. The only masters the Space Wolves recognize are their long-departed Primarch and the Allfather, by which name they revere the Emperor. The Space Wolves were founded by the Emperor as the 6th Legion of his Space Marines. Legends tell they were as feared and lauded then as they are now. Ruthless executioners who never let doubt stay their hand. In those myth-shrouded times, the Space Wolves fought under their savage Primarch, Leman Russ, the Wolf King. From Russ, the Space Wolves inherited his genetic legacy, the keen senses of true predators, canine teeth that lengthen into fangs as the warrior ages, and the instinctive aggression of great hunters. It is an aggression each aspirant strives to overcome during the tests of initiation, for at its heart is the inner beast. Through the Battle Brothers' life, a simmering rage lurks beneath the surface, ready at any moment to break its bonds. For most, this manifests as a berserk fury. Yet there are dark tales of bestial transformations. Some even claim elements of Russ's genetic legacy are cursed. Before the Imperium was even born, or so the Elder Sagas go, the nascent Primarch, Leman Rust, was cast onto the murderously inhospitable planet of Fenris. This planet remains the homeworld of the Space Wolves. Their mountainous fortress monastery, the Fang, rises inviolably above the polar fastness of Azaheim. Fenris's untamed wilderness are as much a part of the chapter as Russ's genetic legacy. It is a world of ice and fire. Mammoth, frigid seas encircle the world, forbidding and storm-racked. Scattered islands and innumerable ice floes lead a fragile existence. During Fenris's orbit, the world endures a cold voyage through the void while its oceans freeze. When Fenris eventually returns to closer proximity with its star, the Wolf's Eye, the sub-oceanic crust heaves in the season of fire. Seas boil, and new lands are violently born. Older islands shattering or sinking beneath the waves. Only the continent of Azaheim endures. Fenris is a death world. Its every aspect inimical to human life. Horrors beyond count lurk beneath the seas, and monstrous predators stalk the lands. Yet mankind survives here in hardy and warlike nomadic tribes. Leman Russ was raised among these tribes, and the traditions of these people remain strongly reflected in the Space Wolves' hidebound culture. The chapter recruits from the strongest and most valorous Fenrisians, and the space wolves fight in the manner of those fearless people, as a battle-hungry brotherhood of heroes. Each voyage through the stars into the dark unknown, and each war against immense odds, is a glorious adventure to be seized and conquered. Every space wolf seeks to make a name for himself, to have his deeds immortalized in a saga, an oral account rhythmically intoned at great feasts and accorded to only the worthiest warriors. The space wolves' warrior bands gather around yet greater heroes, like the tribal kings of Fenris and their loyal bondsmen. As the Fenrisian chiefs are attended by mystics and medicine men, so the lords of the space wolves call upon the chapter's priesthoods. These exemplify the chapter's obdurate refusal to heed the dictates of the Codex Astartes. Each priesthood undertakes duties similar to some of the specialized officer castes of other chapters. The Iron Priests maintain and repair the chapter's vehicles, weapons, and war gear. The Psychic Rune Priests guard their battle brothers against sorcery, while Wolf Priests maintain the Space Wolves' culture and spirit, as well as its warriors' physical and genetic endurance. The Space Wolves chapter is divided into 12 great companies, and within each are a fluctuating number of squads, called packs, by the Sons of Rus. Rather than having sergeants, they are led by pack leaders, or alphas. Commanding them in turn are the wolf lords, each a chief of their own company, and answerable only to the master of the chapter, the Great Wolf. The packs progress through a series of stages, identified by the color of the markings they bear upon their armor. Many packs fight together for life and remain in their oath-sworn great company. The competitiveness of their warriors tempered over the years into iron-hard bonds of brotherhood. Newly inducted space wolves retain the exuberance and ferocity of the young fighters they were. Risk-takers and often ill-disciplined, they bear pack markings in yellow and red. Their wolf lord usually directs them to fight in aggressive packs as bikers, jump pack troops, and close quarters combatants. When their pack has been blooded with numerous battles, the experienced and mature space wolves rededicate their markings in red and black. Such packs form the majority of most great companies' strength. Their wolf lord often deploys these dependable fighters in adaptable units, fluid in both attack and defense, as roving predators taking and holding key assets. When a pack has emerged victorious from countless campaigns, they will solemnly alter their pack markings to white and black of Asaheim's enduring peaks. Veterans of centuries with the utmost trust of their lord, these disciplined, wise, and dangerous warriors are often granted the most powerful and precise weapons. During any such stage, a space wolf may be taken from his original pack, his skills put to better use in the specialized packs of the great company. In pack markings of gray and black, silent and cunning prey stalkers prowl the wilds, hunting the foe far from boisterous company. While those of the wolf lord's closest companions bear yellow and black. These are his hand-picked wolf guard, the best of the great company, mentors and inspirational heroes all wish to emulate. Sagas of the Sky Warriors. There is no glory without danger. So do the space wolves approach the myriad terrors of the galaxy, as opportunities for valor, as obstacles to overcome, and as tests for the daring. There is no foe they are unwilling to stare down. There is no fire-swept hell they are unwilling to dive into. If they fear anything, it is a warrior's life unlived and unknown. Pivotal to the culture of the Space Wolves is the saga. The oral traditions of Fenris's tribes are deeply entrenched. They are a warrior people, and each day may bring the rival's spear, the crushing wave, or the kraken's coils to end their life. The Fenrisians remind each other, and any spirits that may listen, of a lost warrior's deeds. Generation after generation, they speak of the foes a hero slew, of the risks taken, and of the voyages made. The saga is a hero's history, and thus their soul. In turn, such traditions have been embedded in the Space Wolves. Though they are as gods to the Fenrisians, the canvas of their lives immeasurably bigger, and the dangers they face incalculably greater, the importance of the saga remains. When a warrior of the Space Wolves falls in battle, if his deeds are mighty enough, his battle brothers gather. Alone or in groups come the members of his and other packs, some even from other great companies. They each give an account of the fallen to a Skald, one of their number skilled in the highly respected art form of remembering and retelling such histories. When the Space Wolves feast, which is often and loudly, they do so in the firelit and trophy-hung halls of the chapter, whether upon Fenris or aboard their warships. At an unspoken sign, the wolves of Fenris cease their deafening songs and their bouts of strength, and tankards refill with throat-burning mead. Then do the Skalds recite the sagas, new and old. They tell of unalloyed heroism, of failure turned victory, of giants bested and tricksters outwitted, and of traitors punished and monsters humbled. to roars of corpse-waking laughter, cheers for saga-worthy deeds, and the crackle of flame, to shouts and the slamming of fists on Fenrisian iron oak, they tell of glory. It is not only warriors who forge sagas. The greatest weapons and armor of the chapter have storied histories of their own, woven as they've slayed fell beasts or defended the sons of Ross. The Thunderhammer Vikeskell, now thought lost, was crafted by the Iron Priest Bodur Silverscalp before he gifted it to the Wolf Lord Svergl Trollhow. When Trollhow was felled by an Eldari white construct, Vikeskell was taken up by one of his Wolfguard, with whom the weapon fought its way towards Svergl's slayer. When at last the warrior stood before his lord's murderer, he and Vikeskell claimed vengeance together. The repulsor, Jarvel, the Hammer of Asaheim, earned a heroic reputation among the Blackmanes for its relentless pursuits of the tainted creatures left on Fenris in the long aftermath of Magnus's siege. Space Wolves go to war with the deeds of the chapter's past heroes in their minds, even as they fight alongside their living battle brothers. To make war in such mighty company stirs the blood and fires the soul. Death holds no fear for the Space Wolves. If a pack's wolf lord commands them to fall upon an enemy position and alone hold it with their lives against endless assaults, the task is accepted not with grim fatalism, but eagerness. If it is the pack's destiny to end the threat of their lives, ensuring others' victory, if that is to be their end, then they will make it such an end that tales of their glory and honor will echo through eternity. Space Wolves take on cognomens of their own choosing or become known for some aspect of their appearance or character. This is often as a result of some death-defying deed they have survived or saga-worthy feat of arms. Thus did Ragnar take the name Blackmane when he slew one of those terrifying giants of wolf kind. So did pack leader Hrolf's skill with his plasma exterminators earn him the name Starspitter, keeping it long after he left his headstrong days behind. Space Wolves see power in names, reveling in what may have started as an insult or wager, and adding or changing them to reflect personal glory or to honor others. Space Wolves set great store by tradition and have rigid notions of honor and justice. It is common for them to swear great oaths when vengeance must be taken, when honor or duty must be satisfied, or a drunken wager fulfilled. Some oaths are sworn to one's battle brothers, to one's wolf lord, or to the Primarch, wherever he may be. The most binding of these are weapon oaths, unbreakable vows sworn on the lethal tools of a born warrior. Many oaths are simply declaimed loudly, that both friends and foes may hear. Still, others are tattooed on the Space Marine's leathery skin, or inscribed in runic marks on their war gear. Though it may take many years to fulfill, or even the centuries-long lifetime of a Space Marine, no Space Wolf would ever abandon an oath, for to do so would bring great shame. Deeds of Myth. The epic history of the Space Wolves stretches deep into the barely understood ages of the Imperium's past. Details may be indistinct and whole epochs unaccounted for. Yet none deny the chapter's position at the forefront of humanity's defense for 10,000 years. If tales of these times are incredible, it is because the Space Wolves are heroes like no other. In the Era Indomitus, the Space Wolves stand as one of the greatest among more than 1,000 chapters of Space Marines. 10 millennia ago, they were the 6th of the 20 legions, forged by the Emperor himself for his great crusade. It is hinted that the 6th Legion were often wielded by the Emperor as hunter-killers, tireless pursuers, and bloody-mauled weapons of vengeance. Some obscure work suggests a veil of secrecy was laid over many of their early campaigns, that they were monsters set loose only when needed against enemies whose execution had to be swift and complete. The Space Wolves care about such whispers now as they may have all those years ago. Not at all. Then, as now, the Imperium needed such uncompromising warriors, combatants whose purity of purpose enabled them to do what had to be done. Crumbling electro-parchments tell how upon the tempest-flayed death world of Fenris, the Emperor discovered the fierce Leman Russ and united the Primarch with his Gene sons. Some of the Elder Sagas hinted how the Space Wolves' Legion fought through the Great Crusade. Fear spread before them as they prowled the galaxy, a hurricane of war that swept all before them. Under the Wolf King, so the tales go, the Legion was just as independent and headstrong as they are in the 41st millennium. Their aggression and forthright nature often saw them at odds with their fellow Legion Astartes. Such matters even led to confrontation, such as the first eruption of the eon-long feud with the Dark Angels that saw some sources place the planet on Dulan. Yet, such conflict would pale into insignificance before the horrors of what later chroniclers would call the Horus Heresy. The heresy and its aftermath consumed the galaxy. Billions were massacred and entire worlds destroyed. It is no wonder that, in the very few records surviving from this time, myth, lies, apocrypha, and contradiction make it impossible to know anything for certain. Within the Space Wolves' own traditions is a tale said to originate from the earliest days of the heresy. With near their full strength, the Space Wolves attacked and devastated the Thousand Suns Legion of Magnus the Red and razed their homeworld of Prospero. Declaimed by the All-Father himself as sorcerers and heretics, or so this sliver of Russ's saga goes, the Thousand Suns' protestations of innocence were revealed as lies when they viciously fought back with all their hellish, warp-spawned powers. The Saga Shard peters out with a titanic duel of gods. Ruddy, hell-haloed Magnus and the flint-eyed Tempest that was Russ. Eventually, the storm shattered the sorcerer. The Thousand Suns and their master were broken on Prospero and were said to have fled through a sorcerous portal while their world burned. Behind them, so it goes, followed the Space Wolves' 13th Great Company, the Wolfenkind. It would not be the last that the Space Wolves or the Imperium would see of Magnus and his sons, nor of innumerable other horrors. Since the Great Rift has spread its jaws wide, the churning morass of warp storms, terror, insanity, and bloodshed have tested all the sons of Russ as never before. The Great Companies. Like the tumultuous Fenrisian Isles, the Great Companies of the Space Wolves are not permanently fixed. Where one wolf lord falls, another must rise to lead his battle brothers. Taking a figure from Fenrisian myth to be his sigil. Though varied, every wolf lord and great company strives to embody the virtues of strength, courage, and honor that defined their primarch. Each great company is near autonomous. They do not conform to the structures laid out in the Codex Astartes. And charges have often been levied, from a safe distance, that the Space Wolves maintain far more warriors than its dictates allow. Each is commanded by a wolf lord, equivalent to the captains of other chapters. He rules a brotherhood of eager warriors fueled by battle lust. And his resources give him the capacity to hunt down and kill any prey. In the Wolf Lord's lair within the Fang are stores of powerful war gear and master-crafted weapons. He commands a fleet of warships to sail the Sea of Stars, as well as powerful war engines such as battle tanks, anti-grav vehicles, and bulky war suits, some of which are centuries or even millennia old. Their machine spirits as aggressive and savage as ever. Upon on the enormous stone tablets of the Grand Onulus within the Hall of the Great Wolf on Fenris. Each company is represented by the sigil of their wolf lord. The Space Wolves have used many dozens of sigils throughout their history. Some descended from ancient Fenrisian myths, but many developed solely in the Space Wolves' own mystic traditions. Some, like the Spirit Wolf, have not been selected in millennia. The symbolism of each is not only fixed in myth, but absorbs the deeds and characters of each great company, consuming their sagas. Thus do some sigils recur in cycles of prominence, while others, with connections to fallen heroes or to bad omens, remain thought of as cursed, such as the case with the Hunger Skull, tied forever to the traitor Jorgen Vorr. Bran Redmaw's personal icon is the Bloodied Hunter, and his company's savagery is legend. Some say the curse of the Wolfen runs deep within the ranks of the Bloodmaws. Bran has been seen to attack with a howling pack of Wolfen, and sometimes even succumbs to the Canis Helix himself in battle. Yet his warriors are also cunning. The Wolf Lord's numerous Grey Hunters often lie in wait to the foe's rear after the fury of Bran's frontal attack forces their enemies to retreat. Ingir Krakendoom's sigil is that of the Sea Wolf, often chosen from the kraken-hunting islanders of the south. Many of his men are dark of skin and temperament. They go to war embarked upon armored transports and airborne assault craft adorned with shields. Their swift claws and outriders harry the foe upon the flanks, ensuring the packs reach the enemy in an unstoppable tide. The Sons of Morkai, named after the wolf god long before taking on the sigil of the two-headed beast, Eric Morkai has always been grim and stern of aspect. His company has a great many wolf scout packs, fellow hard-eyed warriors who appreciate their master's taciturn demeanor. Eric's terrifyingly effective methods involve solving problems with swift and bloody acts of violence. It is rumored that the growing cult of the Hounds of Morkai look to Eric as a silent alpha. The Wolf of the Red Moon is a skeletal beast that prowls the seven hells in Fenrisian myth, devouring the unworthy and yet ever growing fat. The wolf lord who bears this symbol, Gunnar Redmoon, is a roaring bear of a man and as boastful as a bard. He favors fang packs such as aggressors and centurion devastators. Like him, they are possessed of a strong appetite for heavy firepower and even heavier feasting. The Champions of Fenris are the great company of Logan Grimnar and are fanatically loyal to its charismatic and cunning leader. Each warrior is extremely proud of his link to the Supreme Lord of the chapter and constantly vies with his peers for the Great Wolf's favor. Logan Grimnar firmly believes that a battle can be carried by a few heroes in the right place at the right time, and as such makes effective use of the many Wolfguard in his great company. The Wolf Lord, Harald Deathwolf of the Deathwolves, takes the symbol of the Ravening Jaw, icon of the Wolf Time. When Morkai will eat the sun and eternal night will shroud the stars. Harald himself rides to war upon Icetooth, a great gray thunder wolf. He is the chapter's foremost hunter, for his senses are so sharp he can smell fear. Harald's great company includes a host of lupine beasts, be they flesh and blood, or cybernetic constructs. Bjorn Stormwolf of the Stormwolves is a ruddy mountain of muscle and bellowed impatience. He has taken Drekken the Thunderwolf as his symbol, for he too is a creature of ferocity over stealth. When the Stormwolves go to war, they utilize many heavy weapons, bikes, vindicators, and jump packs, for they rejoice in the din of battle more than any other company. Vorek Gnarlfist of the Ironwolves has cemented his relatively recent position among the Wolf Lords. Having learned his craft under Lord Eagle, whose Iron Wolf sigil he kept as a mark of respect, his great company's armored assaults are greatly feared. Squadrons of repulsor executioners hunt monstrous enemies, while Vorek's packs of wolf scouts outflank the foe in impulsor transports, before closing on them like inescapable iron jaws. Krom Dragongaze of the Drakeslayers has a presence of will so strong that his fiercely loyal Wolfguard say only the mythical Sun Wolf has a hope of staring him down. Krom loves taking part in all kinds of contests, from the Trial of the Bladed Eye to the rivalries he fosters within his great company and without. Perhaps the most talented wolf lord of all, the Blackmane's Ragnar Blackmane, is a force of sheer ferocity and the stuff of legend. Though he is comparatively young, he is without a doubt a warrior born. Ragnar frequently has the honor of planning and leading the Space Wolves' planetary invasions, seeding a world with ravening packs of Reavers before launching one of his famed lightning-fast drop assaults. Sven Bloodhowl, Lord of the Firehowlers, has been missing since he assaulted the Will of Eternity, one of Abaddon's Blackstone fortresses. While some believe his saga to be ended, his Wolfguard rule in his name until his fate is determined. The Firehowlers tattoo themselves with Bloodhowl's volcanic icon, the Fire Breather, alongside runes depicting their own sagas. In Fenrisian myth, the Fire Wolf burns without being consumed. Some whisper Jarl Grimblood bears a gift, that he can see visions in the fires of war. The Wolf Lord of the Grimbloods and his packs have not been seen on Fenris in a long time, as they burn a trail of destruction through endless war bands of equally savage orcs. The blank name stone, representing the 13th company, set into the Grand Annulus, was once that of Yoren Bloodhow's great company, known as the Wolfenkind. They who hounded the Thousand Sons into the warp during the Horus Heresy. Though some Wolfen appear to have returned, this stone continues to represent all of the great companies across history that have fallen or were lost in battle. Curse of the Wolfen. The ferocity and savagery of the Space Wolves is well attested by other Imperial forces who have had the terrifying honor of fighting alongside them. Some Imperial commanders attribute what they see as the Space Wolves' feral barbarism to their origins among Fenris's warring tribes. In reality, the chapter's bestial nature goes far deeper, into the core of their being. All scions of Leman Russ bear genetic traits they inherit from their progenitor Primarch. Like that of all Adeptus Astartes, the gene seed of the Space Wolves works changes on the body and the mind. Interacting with the specialized organs implanted into every warrior. Some of these alterations and synergies may once have been understood by the great mystic geneticists of Mars, Terra, and Luna, yet most were only ever fully grasped by the Emperor himself. Space Wolves have heightened instincts, preternatural senses, and a raw aggression that makes them consummate hunters and devastating shock troops. Yet, these traits are merely the outer pelt of a ferocious nature that is usually suppressed. Of an inner beast, a base and incoherent rage, terrible hunger, and bloodthirsty fury. The Space Wolves know this intangible shadow as the Wolfen, and it resides in each of them without exception. Aspirants of the Space Wolves chapter undergo many arduous and deadly trials before they are bloodily transformed with strange tools and arcane science into Space Marines. They are tested by the priesthoods for their suitability in mind, body, and spirit. Many aspirants fail in these tests. Of these failures, the lucky pass swiftly into the realm of Morkai, the two-headed wolf god of Fenrisian myth, who guards the gates of death. Some few continue to serve as serfs, forever shamed by defeat, or as unthinking, half-human servitors. Many of these tests differ depending on the aspirant and even the traditions of individual great companies, yet the final one is always the same, the test of Morkai. The warrior is taken far into the barren wastes beyond the fortress of the Fang. He drinks from the cup of Wolfen, and his body absorbs the first and most deadly component of the Space Wolves' gene seed, the Canis Helix. No distinction is made between those who go on to be implanted with the organs of Primaris Space Marines and those matured more traditionally. No aspirants are exempted from the test of Morkai. The Canis Helix is necessary. Without this essential part of Leman Russ's heritage, the other gene helices cannot be implanted. The frightening potency of the Canis Helix has accounted for the lives of many aspirants. The numbers will never be known, since the Sons of Russ rarely record failure. All those not killed by the draught from the Cup of Wolfen undergo a monstrous transformation. The Helix works hideous changes on the warrior's mind and body. Bones split and buckle before fusing, thick hair sprouts across his body, and he is overcome with a desire to hunt, kill, and glut himself on fresh meat. His body mass swells, and his teeth grow into sharp fangs. Whilst in the throes of excruciatingly painful change, the aspirant is cast into the wilderness alone and left to make his way back to the Fang. The warrior must overcome the hunger within him, lest it possess him entirely. If he does not, he will become one of the feral creatures known, like the shadow in his soul, as the Wolfen. If the aspirant finds his way back to the Fang, despite the ravaging changes and the many perils that lie before him, he is implanted with the remainder of the Space Wolf's gene seed, stabilizing the Canis Helix and completing his apotheosis. With time, however, it becomes clear that some of these warriors have not completely conquered the Canis Helix's original effects. In moments of great fury, at the zenith of their battle frenzy, some alter into that bestial state. This is the curse of the Wolfen, an ever-present threat that haunts the soul of every Son of Russ. To become one of the Wolfen during the test of Morkai is to roam the wilderness forevermore as a creature of the darkest night, or be captured by their former brothers and held as a caged beast until the time is right for them to be set loose into battle. Those who succumb to the inner beast during battle may be able to reassert control once all before them lay dead. Once the pounding rush of blood becomes less deafening, and the scent of their prey's fear has died with them. Some cannot. They become locked in a cycle of berserk fury, forever fallen from grace, as feared reminders of what may await any Son of Russ. In battle, their savage howls speak to the muzzled fury within each of the Wolf King's line, inflaming the passions of even the most self-possessed. Among the Space Wolves, there are other Wolfen, their origins uncertain even to those gifted with wisdom. Singly or in packs, they have been discovered across the galaxy, bearing remnants of ancient war gear. Many are marked with the heraldry of the lost 13th Great Company, though there are other sigils and runes that cannot be read among their panoply. Wary talks abounds of the wolfen kind and ancient prophecies, of tragic brothers and curses. Whether these are truly those same warriors who vanished so long ago, horribly changed, may never be known. Still recognizing their fellow warriors as battle brothers, the Space Wolves usher packs of wolfen aboard gunships and deploy them into the heart of the enemy. At other times, the wolfen lope across the field, their instinct leading them to the thickest fighting. They bear fragments of armor shaped to fit their altered anatomies, pack-marked with the white of fangs and the red of blood. With iron-hard talons, marrow-freezing claws, or weapons so huge that only they can wield them, wolfen tear apart any before them. Beneath the fang, in the frozen non-existence of stasis fields, the pilots of the chapter's dreadnoughts slumber between wars. Though little remains of their once heroic physiques, still these epic warriors bear the genetic legacy of Russ. In rare cases, the sleeping beast within their psyche awakes, and the curse of the wolfen ravages and distorts the warrior's mind. Wolfen dreadnoughts unleash rampant devastation. Their metallic snarls and howls blared through emitters as they charge toward any enemy, sweeping long claws or massive axes through anything that dare stands in their way. There is one among these behemoths whose violent storms of slaughter eclipses all others. Discovered by the Space Wolves on the hell world of Omnicide, the feral dreadnought known only as Murderfang is a single-minded berserker of metallic rage. Whatever noble son of Fenris once piloted this untamed force of destruction is long since lost, consumed entirely by the bestial thing at Murderfang's heart. Only by using Hellfrost technology to freeze its servos between battles can its wrath be stayed.